Talking today with Roy Lee Lindsey of the Oklahoma Poor Council. Roy Lee, let's talk a little bit about this past week, the Fort Collins event at Colorado State University. Pretty fascinating crowd, a big crowd, obviously. There were quite a few hog producers as well as cattle producers there. And it was pretty fascinating to hear all the talk about where we're going as with trying to market livestock in this country. As you think about, and you've had a chance to think a few days about it now, what really were some of the take-home things that you heard that are significant in your mind going forward?
Well, there was only one thing that everybody in the room seemed to agree on, at least all the producers in the room. Whether they agree with GPSA rule or government intervention into the markets, everyone in the room agreed that we've got to get this inheritance tax thing fixed. We've got to do away with the death tax. There's not one here in 2010. But I don't see any real effort in Congress, you know, any real support in Congress for maintaining that going into 2011. And, you know, with the emphasis that the secretary gave of keeping young people on the farm, the easiest way to do that is to allow me to pass the farm on down to my son, my grandson, whatever. And when you start talking about a 50% tax on inheritance and you say, okay, what's the value of your farmland? Do the math. How am I going to come up with the cash to pay a 50% tax on what that inheritance is without selling the farm? So, you know, government is telling us we want young people in farming, but they're really not living up to what they're telling us. And because you don't see this administration saying we must do something about the inheritance tax, it's killing farmers. You see them, most of the talk is about we're going to let this thing expire and we're going to go back to some really high-end tax rates at the end of 2010. So that was one of the things that I thought, and I hadn't thought about how much that might come up, but it came up throughout the day. It was, and everyone in the room was agreeable with what that premise was. In general observations, I think you saw those that spoke in favor of marketing arrangements, contract production, as being people that recognize the value of the production chain. And I'm talking about the chain from livestock producer to processor to retailer, and that there is a chain there, and we all have to work together. You saw a lot of folks that, well, we just need to build more packing plants, or we just need to have smaller plants, or we just need no rules for smaller plants. We did a lot of pointing fingers and saying, this guy's not paying me a fair price, or I can't get a price here. And what you have in that is essentially a team divided. You know, I've often said, I can take all the pigs I want to McDonald's and they're not going to pay me a penny for them. Okay, we've got to have somebody who'll process our animals, put them into a product that the consumer wants and that a retailer or a food service agency or a food service entity is going to serve and sell to the consumer. And for us to be fighting amongst that chain, even though we all think we need a bigger share and we'd all like to have a bigger share, but fighting in that chain doesn't help us sell more product at the end of the day. And if I'm not selling more product at the end of the day, I'm not getting paid more for it at the first place I shop. So that's a challenge that I think people have got to take a bigger picture look at. I don't quit raising cattle the minute they leave my farm. I don't quit raising hogs the minute the truck picks them up. I still have an investment in that end product that's in the grocery store. And that's in terms of not just marketing agreements and what I'm paid for it, but that's in terms of care for it. That's in terms of food safety. That's all of those pieces. What I do to start on my farm ultimately ends up on somebody's plate. And every part of that chain is extremely important to us as we work through it.
Did you get the sense that USDA is pretty bound and determined to see this GPSA rule through?
I think if you listen to Secretary Vilsack and Attorney General Holder's opening comments, it was very clear that they've already made their mind up that they're going to do something down this road. I spoke to a class in Stillwater yesterday at OSU, a swine science class, and we talked about this GPSA rule. And I was asked, you know, what was my belief about the likelihood of success or of passing this rule, of this rule actually going into effect. And I would tell you it's 100%. Some components of this rule will go into effect. Now, whether it's going to be exactly as it's presented today, I'm betting there are some small changes made to it, but probably not changes to the pieces that are most onerous and create the biggest headache for us as we look down the road. I, you know, this is kind of, and I say this a little bit tongue-in-cheek, nobody we're talking about the Attorney General of the United States. He's got a laundry list of things on his plate he needs to be working with. But to sit in front of the group and say, we're here to listen today, and then leave when the first panel's over before a single producer who was part of the audience got up to make his comments didn't really reflect that we were here to listen today. And Secretary Vilsack left at noon, also before anybody made any comments. And so, you know, I know that's all semantics, and they're getting their comments on the record and the rest of it. But it is somewhat telling that, you know, they played this up, that Attorney General Holder will be there, Assistant AG Christine Varney for antitrust was going to be there, and both of them left after the first panel. I think as you listen to the moderators that moderated most of the panels, you could tell where they wanted to go with the questions and the answers. My wife, the attorney, would say those were leading questions. They were leading questions, and they led you to where they wanted to end up. So in some ways, this was a lot of political theater. We're going to put on a stage show. We're going to get lots of comments in support of what we're trying to do from those who do think we need to change the marketing agreements and contracts and integrated production that we've got. But I think they probably, if they go back and look, would be surprised at how many folks were there that are opposed to this GPSA rule and why. Because I thought that the comments, there were certainly more comments made against the rule and encouraging USDA to go back and study this thing again than I had anticipated. So I don't know if it was a 60-40 split by the end of the day, but it was a lot closer to even than I had anticipated it would be.
And really very few hog producers that you would call independent guys that were, you know, sold that this is the right thing to do.
That's right. And most all the pork producers that were there, most all the folks that were raising hogs, their answer was, you know what, I don't need the government to review my contracts. I don't need the government to limit my opportunity to go negotiate a contract. You know, our producers in Oklahoma, because we've got so many contract growers, but I would bet you that they're not all working on the same contract, where producer A went to the integrator and said, hey, I'm willing to raise these pigs, but I want to be paid X number of dollars. And producer B said, you know what, I'm a better producer than he is. I can do it for less money, so I'll take 50 cents less a pig because I'm going to produce more pigs, and it's going to come out at the end of the day. I'm still going to be dollars ahead. The rules as they're proposed are going to limit a lot of those opportunities for producers to be paid premiums for products or premiums for performance because of the justification requirements. And USDA has written a rule that's overly broad. It's very vague, and I think done intentionally so that they can inject themselves more into the market and they can be more in control. And most of our producers believe we're plenty capable of making our own business decisions. We don't need the government's help to do that.
Where do you see this thing going? I mean, I think we agree something's going to happen at some point, probably in 2011. There'll be a rule that they'll publish as far as a final rule. How does that then play out? Do we see lawsuits? Do we see this thing, you know, actually impacting our producers pretty quickly, or what?
Well, I guess in terms of timeline, the comment period ends November 22nd. If you figure it'll take them 6 months to nine to review the comments that came in and issue a final rule, you're probably looking at a January 1, 2012 effective date for a set of rules. I mean, I think that's about as quickly as they can turn it around and make something go. So, but that's going to happen. Something's going to go into those rules. And ultimately today, the way the rule is written, without significant changes, there's going to be lawsuits on all sides, because the task that USDA was given was to clarify. Let's add some clarity. Let's define unfair practices. Let's define what some of these things were. And instead of defining, they gave you an example and said, this is an unfair practice. But they didn't ever define what those things were. This was unreasonable influence. They didn't define it. They just said, here's an example. And so if you don't give me definitions that people can read and understand, mm-hmm. ultimately you end up in front of a judge to decide whether they whether you met that standard or not. And the big challenge, I mean, from my seat, is the courts have already ruled on all these things numerous times. I mean, 8 of the U.S. federal district courts have ruled on, you know, the circuit courts have ruled in appeals as to how you should interpret the Packers and Stockyards Act and undue influence and competitive injury and all of those things. And USDA is now saying, well, we don't care what the courts have ruled. We're going to go write our own rule and we'll start this process over again. So, yeah, you're going to see lawsuits. I think there's some hope that if the Republicans can take over control of the House this fall, that you might see a different attitude towards USDA and support of this rule. Most of the things that are in the rule that are really egregious, if you will, are ideas that came out of the U.S. Senate. And there were things the Senate put in their version of the Farm Bill last year that the House said, no, we don't agree with that, and we're not doing a Farm Bill that's got them in it. And so the House members really took USDA to task over this rule about a month ago. And I think that if you saw a change in leadership in the House, especially if you could get Congressman Lucas to be the chairman of the Ag Committee, I think you'd see the House really push back on USDA and its ability to implement this rule. Now, whether that's enough, I don't know. This administration has shown repeatedly that its government agencies and bureaucracies are less concerned about what Congress says they can do and with what authority they think they have and go and do things anyway. Right. And so I don't know how that plays out, but at the end of the day, I'm betting by January 1, 2012, we've got a new rule that we're having to try to comply with.
Roy Lee Lindsay of the Oklahoma Pork Council with his perspective on this proposed GPSA rule that he thinks will be finalized in some form or fashion by USDA sometime next year. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.